The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Beatty the Patriot is WWTC Minneapolis St. Paul. FM 107.5, K298CO Minneapolis. Intelligent radio.
With SRN News, I'm Greg Clugston in Washington. President Biden and former President Trump held dueling rallies yesterday, and immigration was a main topic.
Both campaigning in Georgia this weekend, former President Donald Trump focusing on the death of nursing student Lakin Riley.
Lakin Riley would be alive today if Joe Biden had not willfully and maliciously eviscerated the borders of the United States and set loose thousands and thousands of dangerous criminals.
President Biden in Atlanta on migrants.
Donald Trump calls them vermin, poisoning the blood of America.
Saying he'll work to secure the borders while creating legal pathways for those who are here.
Farm workers, essential workers who helped us through the pandemic and are part of the fabric of our community.
I'm Jackie Quinn.
And this is SRN News.
Dr. Sebastian Gorka sees more phony charges.
It is said that Leventi Beria, the founder of the KGB, his motto was, "Show me the man, and I will find you the crime." We have arrived at that point in America. President Trump solicited actions to guarantee that the 2020 elections were fair. That was his crime.
America First with Dr. Sebastian Gorka. Afternoons at 2 on AM 1280, The Patriot. Intelligent radio.
Some days I cover up because of my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. Now I'm hitting the road with clearer skin thanks to Skyrizi, Risankizumab Riza, a prescription-only 150 milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy. With Skyrizi, 3 out of 4 people achieved 90% clearer skin at 4 months. And Skyrizi is just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
Thanks to Skyrizi, there's nothing on my skin, and that means everything. Your doctor today about Skyrizi, the number one dermatologist prescribed biologic in psoriasis, and visit skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
Life insurance. Why are you putting it off? Can't afford it? Too much hassle? Think you don't need it? There's lots of excuses for putting off life insurance. But if you weren't there, who would pay the mortgage and other bills? With Ethos, you could be covered in 10 minutes and boom, family protected. Ethos, fast and easy online term life insurance. Up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam. Some policies as low as $1 a day. Answer a few health questions and get your free quote at getethos.com. That's getethos.com.
This is Dennis Prager, and now a truly exciting new benefit. My monthly online video get-together for Pragertopia Plus members only. For an hour each month, get an exclusive chance to ask me anything. I'll be answering your questions. I've never done this. Submit your questions for me at Pragertopia.com. This is our chance to connect like never before. Go to Pragertopia.com or click the banner at DennisPrager.com.
The institutions use the markets to create income and get better returns for their investors. They are consistent year after year using tools that most people know nothing about. Learn the skills to invest and trade with the institutions at a free investing class in our local Twin City Center or virtually at 952-814-4410. Discover the tools the institutions use daily at Online Trading Academy, 952-814-4410. or go to learnwithota.com.
November 2nd, 2020, marked the 100th anniversary of the first commercial radio broadcast. Guess what? We're still here, and we're bigger and better than ever. You can still listen to us over this great radio station, but now there are no limitations. Your smartphone is now your smart radio. Listen to us online, on the app, tunein.com, iHeartRadio, and odyssey.com. Your smart speaker can find us, too. With radio, there's no separation anxiety. We're always on. AM 1280, The Patriot.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio monthly for connection. If you value this station, help ensure it stays in vehicles for the next generation by visiting dependonam.com.
Did you hear Michelle Tafoya interview Al Michaels? What about Bob Costas? Hear her fascinating take on those two and more on the Salem Podcast Network. Hear intelligent radio through your smart speaker. Just say, play the Patriot, Minneapolis.
World of Aviation is paid for by Thunderbird Aviation.
Portions of the following program may have been pre-recorded.
It's time for the World of Aviation, sponsored by Academy College of Aviation in Bloomington and by Thunderbird Aviation, with locations at Flying Cloud Airport in Eden Prairie and at the Crystal Airport. Here now is your host, Al Malmberg.
Thanks, Doc. We did have Charles Tillman lined up to come on the show this morning, but unfortunately we're not able to get a hold of him. And that's too bad, because Charles Tillman has been flying for a long, long, long time. Not only was he an airline captain, but he was also the pilot in command of Fifi, the first flying B-29 since World War II, and then subsequently he became the pilot in command, the first pilot of Doc, the other B-29. There's two flying B-29s in the world right now, and those are the two. We will reschedule Charles Tillman. Not sure exactly what happened, but this when you're doing live radio, that happens. So we're just going to have open lines today. And how did your Discovery flight go? I know we did that as a rerun last week.
I still think about it to this day. It is still, especially when you see some aircraft in the air, and just I see why it's therapeutic for you. I really do.
It is. It truly is. Kathy and I were out in San Diego last weekend visiting very, very close friends, Pete and Sandy Upsall. Pete and I went to high school and freshman year of college together. We were roommates. And Pete had a great career in the Navy, retiring as a captain. He had been the skipper on the USS Mobile Bay. He'd been on the John Paul Jones. A number of warships, heavy cruisers and destroyers. While we were out there, we went on board the Midway, the USS Midway aircraft carrier, which is now a museum in San Diego. And boy, was that fun. Unfortunately, it was raining. It was raining out there the whole time we were in San Diego, and the temperature was colder than it was in Colorado.
I was going to say,
hold on a second.
Yeah.
Here is, hold on a second.
I was going to say, yeah.
Hold it. Charles, good morning. Oh, we tried. Hold on a sec. I'm going to turn my mic down so nobody hears this.
Yeah. And so we are on the air, waiting to connect with Charles here as we can get him as a guest and discuss his pilot and growing up and, well, just aviation, how he got started. So we'll wait and see how Al will be here with him shortly.
Okay, now, I'm going to have to, how am I going to show? I'll shoot this to you via chat, all right? You're seeing how the inside of radio works, and we're doing something live.
Yeah, you got to love it.
Oh, here you go. The last four digits, 6386. That's all. Nobody will know that.
All right, I will give him a call.
Go ahead. So anyway, we went on board the USS Midway, which is now a museum, and they have all these flight simulators that you can go in, and they're a hoot.
There was one where I think they have, let's see, one, two, three, there are four rows in a seat, four seats in a row. And then they go back, I'm guessing, four to five rows. And you're, I don't even know what kind of fighter jet you're flying in, probably an F-18. And you're going through valleys, and it was really fun. But we toured the whole ship. Huge, as you can imagine, any aircraft carrier. And then we went to the Mariners Institute in San Diego, where Pete had lined up for me to get in the simulator, a ship simulator, a destroyer, going into San Diego Harbor. Totally different than... You weren't able to hit him? All right, hold on. I'm going to talk to Charles once again.
Hopefully this works this time. But as we see, we're still waiting to hear from him, so take a few moments and discuss this. But let's see.
Okay, he's going to call the 4488 number. Apparently, your call is being blocked by his system. So there we go. Anyway, on board the Midway, that was a hoot. If you ever get a chance to go out to San Diego, go on board the USS Midway, because it is really fun. All right, so we are here. We're going to introduce Charles Tillman. He's been flying a long, long, long time. In fact, at one time, he was the pilot in command of Fifi. At that time, it was the only flying B-29 in the world. And when Doc was restored, he was the first pilot in command on that bomber as well. He was an airline captain. And interesting life that he has had. His life story is fantastic. And joining us now is Charles Tillman. Charles, my apologies for our difficulty in connecting with you.
No problem, Al. Good to talk to you.
Where did you start flying? How long ago did you start flying? How old were you?
I was 12 years old when I got my first flying lesson in a J-3 Cub, and that was at Mahia, Texas, 1960. And my first instructor was an old World War II CPT PT-19 instructor named Dave Curry. Hmm.
And did you continue taking lessons until you could get your private at 17?
Well, there was a brief lull in my flying because my mom objected to it, but I finally worked that out with the family, and they let me continue taking flying lessons. And of course, I was just waiting on my 16th birthday to solo. And unfortunately, my 16th birthday fell on a Saturday, and back in those days, you had to get your flight physical and medical as one document, as I recall. So I couldn't solo on my 16th birthday, but I think I made it on the following Monday.
Wow. This is, if I remember right and going through your info, this is like 1965?
Actually, I soloed on December the 7th of 1964.
Four. Wow.
Yeah.
Did you become a CFI, or what did you do after you got your ticket?
Well, I continued to fly in high school. I got my private on my 17th birthday. I got my commercial on my 18th birthday. And 2 weeks later, I got my CFI. And that was the middle of my senior year in high school. And I managed to get out of school early on a work permit and had a job instructing for the last semester of my senior year.
No kidding. You were a driven person. You really wanted this.
I really did. Yeah. And I still enjoy flying.
Yeah. When did you go to work for the airlines, and which airline did you fly for?
I went to work for Southwest Airlines in April of 1979, and just prior to that, I'd been an air technician, a full-time pilot in the Texas Air National Guard.
I've got to tell you, we flew Southwest out to San Diego this past weekend and had a wonderful experience going from Denver to San Diego. And then when we came back, we boarded okay, everything was hunky-dory. The pilot announced that we were cleared for takeoff. We entered the runway and started the runway roll. And after, I'm guessing, maybe 50 yards, he shut it down and exited to the first taxiway. And then we sat there for about a half hour, and he came on and said, "We've had a little problem, as you can tell, and we're going to be going back to the terminal." And he announced that it had something to do with the de-icing system. And I had mentioned that, you know, in San Diego, you don't need that, but we're going to be flying over the Rockies, and we might need it. And I thought, I like flying with this guy because he's doing everything correctly. And what was interesting is that they found other flights for people on the plane to get off and go to another gate. And we thought, well, we're going to be sitting a while here until they fix this. And then they came on and said, "We have found another plane for everybody else going to Denver." And apparently this plane had just come in and it was not going to be used. So we went from gate 8 down to gate 6, jumped on this plane, and off we went. But I was very, very impressed with Southwest and how they handled everything, and the flight crew was, they were fantastic. So kudos to Southwest. Charles, we're going to take a break. We're going to continue our conversation with a aviation legend, Charles Tillman. You're listening to The World of Aviation, sponsored by Academy College of Aviation, located in Bloomington at 35W and 494. And by Thunderbird Aviation with two locations, Flying Cloud Airport in Eden Prairie and at the Crystal Airport. This is the World of Aviation. If you've ever thought about becoming an airline pilot, now is the time to jump into this exciting industry. Al Momberg here for Academy College of Aviation, where you can earn a 2 or 4 year degree in business or aviation. The Bachelor of Commercial Aviation program prepares you for a position with the airlines as well as private and corporate companies. Academy College offers flexible and convenient scheduling. Flight training is conducted through Thunderbird Aviation, which has two convenient Twin Cities locations. Academy College offers an RATP-approved program conducted under FAR 141 regulations, which allows a pilot to be hired with 1,000 hours versus the normal 1,500 hours required. That saves you time and money without compromising the high standards set. With their connections with several airlines, Academy College will help you bridge your degree to a career as a commercial pilot. For more information, visit Academy's website at academycollege.edu. The next quarter begins April 8th.
More than 200 members of Congress are standing up for AM radio listeners. The AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act will keep AM radio in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to pass this critical legislation now.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Hi, it's Keith Hittner Sr. here. Tune in on Sundays at noon for your Real Estate Chalk Talk, where we study the science of buying and selling real estate and the art of living in your home.
Get the solid real estate facts you need from Keith Hittner Sr. and Keith Hittner Jr. of Coldwell Banker Burnett and their team of experts. Tune in to Real Estate Chalk Talk on AM 1280 The Patriot every Sunday at 12 noon. Brought to you by the Hittner Group, the number one Coldwell Banker Group in the nation. Online at HittnerGroup.com. And tune in to Real Estate Chalk Talk every Sunday at 12 noon on AM 1280 The Patriot.
A commercial airliner cannot take off without the signed flight release of the captain and a dispatcher. That is how pivotal the role of a flight dispatcher is. Being a flight dispatcher is an incredible career, and Academy College in Bloomington offers an FAA-approved flight dispatcher course. This course is an intensive 10-week course that covers regulations, meteorology, aircraft systems and performance, and so much more. The dispatcher course at Academy College will help you excel in this field. This FAA-approved course is recognized by all the airlines across the country. Class size is limited for a healthy student-to-instructor ratio. For those who qualify, this program is eligible for the application of VA benefits. Academy College is located in Bloomington at the crossroads of 35W and 494. For more information, visit Academy's website at academycollege.edu. That's academycollege.edu. You're listening to The World of Aviation. Our guest is Charles Tillman. He was the pilot in command on the only two flying B-29s in the world, Fifi and Doc. How long did you fly for Southwest, Charles?
Just a couple of months short of 22 years. I left in December of 2000. The airline had gotten bigger, and I wanted to go in a different direction and had some family I wanted to spend more time with my only son, and I wanted to get deeper into the warbird flying. So I decided to make a move and get out of the airline flying.
The story of how you came about to fly Fifi, the B-29, is a great story. I don't know if I told you this, Charles, but when I first heard your name, I went, I know that name. And I went through all the shows that we've done over the last 20 years just to see if we had talked before. And I didn't see it, and I thought, where do I know this name? And when you and I were talking and I found out that you had flown Fifi, I thought, I bet it was from Randy Sohn. And he told me the same story that you told me on how you two met, and it's a great story. So how did you two guys meet?
Well, I was on a Southwest flight as a captain going through Midland on a Sunday evening, and it was at the end of the CAF air show there in Midland. And while I was sitting at the gate agent came down and he said, I've got a Northwest captain that would like to ride jump seat. I said, well, sure, send him down. Anyway, Randy walked into the cockpit with his old leather jacket and his floppy hat and all of the pins and the patches on it, and he introduced himself. And he said, I've got some friends with me. Do you mind if I just ride in the cabin with them? And I said, no, that'll be fine. And I noticed the B-29 pin on his hat. And I said, do you fly the B-29? He goes, yeah, I do. And I said, well, I've never flown a B-29, but I've got about 2,000 hours in the KC-97s. And Randy sort of tilted his head like that RCA dog on the record label, and he looked at me for a minute, and he didn't really say much of anything, and he went back in the cabin. And when we got to Dallas, I was standing out in the jetway saying goodbye to passengers, and Randy walked up and struck up a conversation with me, and we exchanged phone numbers. And about 2 weeks later, the phone mysteriously rang, and it was Randy, and he said, hey, this is Randy Sohn. He said, I checked you out. You really do have 2,000 hours in the KC-97, and he said, we're in a bit of a bind at the CAF because there was an accident, and we lost several pilots that flew the B-29. He said, would you be interested in possibly flying the B-29? Anyway, that's how it all started, and I did go out, and I guess you'd call it an interview flight or an audition flight with Randy, and that eventually led to me joining the CAF and flying Fifi a lot over the next 3 or 4 years.
Well, I'll tell you what Randy said about you. The story that he said in this, when Randy used these two words, you really paid attention. And he said, I checked this guy out, and he was the real deal. And when Randy said somebody was the real deal, you made note of that, and so instant respect there. What was it like flying Fifi?
Well, having flown the KC-97, it was a double-deck version with bigger engines of the B-29, so the airplanes fly very similar. The B-29's maybe just a little bit more clumsy to fly because it doesn't have the boosted rudder, it doesn't have nose wheel steering, it doesn't have reverse, so It's just the basics, and it's an honor to fly the airplane. It's a big piece of history. It requires a lot of planning, and the airplane has heavy controls, and it doesn't do anything in a hurry. So, and it's a 6-man crew. You got to coordinate everything you do with flying that airplane, and it's a chore, but it's an honor.
And the people that have been sitting in that left seat are some of the best pilots in the world. I would think it would have been an honor to be selected and to meet that criteria to be a the pilot in command of the B-29. At that time, the only flying B-29 in the world.
Yeah, and I got to meet a lot of interesting individuals. We had Fifi at the air races. I believe it was 96. And I took all of the surviving Enola Gay crew members for a ride in Fifi.
Wow.
So it was an honor to get to meet all those folks. And later on, I did get to fly with Colonel Morgan of Memphis Belle fame, and he had also flown the B-29s after the B-17. So flying that airplane, I got to meet a lot of interesting former military people.
Did you ever run into Paul Tibbetts, General Tibbetts?
Well, I was supposed to have taken Tibbetts on that same ride out at Reno, but he got sick and he was late showing up, and we'd already done the ride, so I never did get to fly with him.
One of my favorite photos of Captain Sohn, he's giving a check ride to Paul Tibbetts, and I believe that was in the mid-70s. And not only did he give Paul Tibbetts, General Tibbetts, a ride and do the check ride, but also his grandson, Paul Tibbetts IV, who we've had
right
on the show.
And I have flown with him in the B-29. His call sign is Nuke, and he was a very interesting young fellow. He was active duty Air Force when I flew with him in Fifi.
So you were flying, you said, 3-4 years flying in Fifi?
Well, I flew it for quite a few years. I can't even remember exactly when I gave that up. I still do the check rides and the experimental authorizations for the CAF, but I just don't have the time to go with the guys chasing the airplane around the country anymore. I got too many other things going on.
That's too bad, because in August, Fifi is going to be in Cheyenne along with the B-24 at an air show in Cheyenne, and that's only 24 miles to the north of us where we live. And one of the grandkids, Walker, we're going to be going up there, and we're going to go through Fifi, and we're both really, really excited about it. It's too bad you're not going to be the pilot in command.
Well, I wish I could be there, but I'll be somewhere else.
Now, when Doc was restored, how long ago was that? How long has Doc been flying now?
Oh, you know, I'm going to have to think about that, but I'm guessing it's been close to 10 years now.
Wow. You were the first one to sit in the left seat of Doc to fly it. Were there any differences between Doc and Fifi that you could tell?
Well, one of the interesting differences is that Spirit Aviation up there in Wichita custom ground all the glass in the cockpit for the Doc project. So when you got in there and you were looking through that perfect glass, it was almost like the glass wasn't even there, and a little bit better picture than what's in Fifi. But both of the airplanes fly like B-29s. I can't see anything else there. There's not really any difference between the two.
I was reading a story this week, the first flight of Doc, and in the story, it says that the captain, Charles Tillman, greased the landing, which had to be a pretty good feeling when you know there's a lot of people that are watching you go around the loop, and you bring it in and you grease it. Not the time that you want to bounce.
The first flight was a short and very interesting flight because just as we lifted off the runway, Johnny Schauer, the engineer, said, we got a chip light on number three. And I didn't even have time to say anything. And he says, now we got a chip light on number two. And I said, everybody just sit tight, and we're going to take it around a pattern. And we had a flight profile that we had planned that was going to take about an hour to fly. So I said, we're just going to take it around a pattern. We're not going to shut anything down. And about that time, Johnny goes, now we got a chip light on number four. And anyway, it was a short pattern. We came right back around and landed, and turns out it was just a wiring problem, the way they had installed the chip detector wiring on that first flight when we got the engines up to full power and they started vibrating, moving around a little bit inside the cowlings. It frayed the wiring and illuminated those chip lights. But, yeah, it was a little bit of excitement on the first short flight.
Well, I would say, you know, a plane that you're taking up for the first time in how many decades, and when a light goes off like that, it gets your attention.
Oh,
it
does.
When three go off. Charles, we're going to take a break. Our guest is Charles Tillman, pilot in command of both Fifi and Doc at one point, the only two flying B-29s in the world. You're listening to The World of Aviation, sponsored by Academy College of Aviation, located at the crossroads of 35W and 494 in Bloomington, and by Thunderbird Aviation, two locations in the Twin Cities, Flying Cloud Airport in Eden Prairie, and at the Crystal Airport. This is The World of Aviation. Al Momberg here for Thunderbird Aviation. Over the years, I've had a number of people tell me they would love to learn how to fly and at least get a private pilot's license. Well, it's really easy to get started. Just get on Thunderbird Aviation's website and schedule a discovery flight for just $149. You'll learn how a plane flies. You'll go up with an instructor, and you'll take the controls of the plane and actually fly it. You'll do various maneuvers before heading back to the airport. And if you decide to continue, that flight will go in your logbook as your first lesson. Take that first step by going to Thunderbird Aviation. This is Al Momberg. Scenic flights are a delightful way to experience the beauty of the Twin Cities area. Book a scenic flight from Thunderbird Aviation. You'll see stunning views day or night as you fly over the Twin Cities. Go over beautiful Lake Minnetonka, cruise over the state capitol, and circle over downtown Minneapolis. You can even experience an evening flight and see the lights of the Twin Cities. You can even fly over your home, but don't forget your camera. For more information, visit ThunderbirdAviation.com.
With the vast majority of media today leaning hard left, it can be tricky to find news that actually shares, let alone defends, a conservative viewpoint. HotAir.com provides analysis and commentary from conservative writers like Ed Morrissey. HotAir.com.
You've heard of Heritage Christian Academy, but why do parents rave about this school? Using words like amazing, excellent, lifelong learner, experienced, blessed. Discover for yourself on Tuesday, March 12th at 7 for a future family open house. Tour the K-12 campus from classrooms to the sports fields. Visit with staff and leadership to answer questions and experience your student's day. Come find out why Heritage Christian Academy. For more information, search Heritage Christian Academy Maple Grove.
GodTube.com. Inspiration, comedy, music, faith, and fun. Get the best of GodTube every morning and start your day with a smile. Great faith-based videos sent to your inbox daily when you subscribe at GodTube.com, a division of Salem Media Group.
Thunderbird Aviation is hiring airframe and power plant mechanics. Do you hold an AMP license? Does your attention to detail and commitment to quality make you a standout? Then you should join the Thunderbird Aviation team. You'll work alongside experienced professionals. You'll be responsible for performing aircraft maintenance, inspections, and repairs, ensuring the highest safety standards are met. Take the first step towards an exciting future. Apply today by visiting ThunderbirdAviation.com/careers. Al Momberg here for Thunderbird Aviation. Over the years, I've had a number of people tell me they would love to learn how to fly and at least get a private pilot's license. Well, it's really easy to get started. Just get on Thunderbird Aviation's website and schedule a discovery flight for just $149. You'll learn how a plane flies. You'll go up with an instructor, and you'll take the controls of the plane and actually fly it. You'll do various maneuvers before heading back to the airport. And if you decide to continue, that flight will go in your logbook as your first lesson. Take that first step by going to Thunderbird Aviation. You're listening to the World of Aviation. Our guest, Charles Tillman, pilot in command of the only two flying B-29s in the world. So, Charles, after you left Southwest Airlines, what was the first warbird you flew, and how many warbirds are you rated in?
Well, I was fortunate enough to get an invitation to do some flying at the Lone Star Flight Museum down in Galveston. And over a period of a couple of years, I got checked out in most everything that they had that was flying down there. I'm rated in, the Mustang, the Hellcat, the Corsair, P-47, Hawker Hurricane, B-17, B-24, B-25, B-29, DC-3, C-130, and a variety of older corporate jets. And Falcon 10, Falcon 20, West Wind.
We only have 25 minutes left in the show, Charles.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've been asked this question a million times, but I've got to ask it. You're talking some incredible World War II aircraft that most of us would give an eye tooth for to fly. Which one, comparing, for example, the P-51 to the Corsair, which one of those would you rather fly?
Well, the Corsair that the Lone Star Flight Museum had was a Dash 5, and it was a very comfortable airplane. It was built in the, 1953, some of the last Corsairs built, and it had a really comfortable cockpit, and I guess probably that Dash 5 Corsair was my favorite to fly.
Mm-hmm. How did it compare to the P-51? And our fighter plane pilots, are they like the crews of the B-24 and B-17? As soon as you bring up which plane is better, you get an argument between them.
Oh, I'm sure you can get an argument anytime if you get a bunch of pilots together. But
true.
The Navy airplanes were all designed to fly at lower speeds, obviously to go on board the carrier. So. Mm-hmm. Most all of the Navy piston airplanes have slower approach speeds, and they're a bigger airplane. The Mustang is capable of some higher speeds because, of course, it's got the laminar flow wing, and it's a lot less frontal area. And if you put the nose down on a Mustang, the speed builds up in a hurry on the Corsair and the Hellcat and some of those other bigger airplanes with the thicker wings. You have to really put the nose down and keep the power in it if you're going to build up much speed. The exception to that rule is the P-47. It's a big, bulky-looking airplane, but it's got a fast wing on it, and it's actually a very clean airplane, and it'll go downhill and probably outrun just about anything going downhill.
Hmm. When you look at the B-17 and Masters of the Air, the series, I don't know if you've been watching that at all.
I have seen some of it, yeah.
One of the things that I really appreciate is they show the damage that the B-17s could take and still bring the crew back. What was it that Boeing did that made the B-17 so able to take so much damage and still be flying?
Well, it was just the basic design of the airplane. It has a lot of internal structure, and it doesn't depend so much on monocoque or skin stress design characteristics like the B-24. The B-24 was actually a faster airplane and could carry a better load and go further, but it just couldn't survive the same battle damage as the B-17. You don't see that many pictures of the B-17s coming back with great big holes in them and pieces missing. I think they tended to have structural failures when they took severe battle damage, where the B-17s had extra internal structure and they'd bring the guys home.
I want to mention something before we go any farther. I want to point this out. A guest that we had on probably 20 years ago, 18 years ago, one of my all-time favorite guests passed away this week, Bob Pardo. He was known for the Pardo push. Did you ever meet him, Charles?
I did not.
It's an incredible story.
That is an interesting. It really is.
Yeah, a great story. He was 89 when he passed away, and the last time I talked to him, I called him to see if he wanted to come back on the show. Probably 15 years after he had been on, and he had told me at that time he wasn't doing very well, and that he'd have to say no. But it is truly a great story, and anybody can do a search if you've never heard the story of the Pardo push. But we lost a great aviator. Speaking of which, who was the best stick that you ever flew with, Charles?
Oh.
Tough question.
That's a difficult question. I've managed to fly with a lot of really good pilots. There were several of the guys down at the Lone Star Flight Museum that I flew warbirds with, and I would consider all of them top-notch guys, Stu Dawson and Tommy Gregory, yeah. And those guys, still good friends of mine. We still talk and occasionally fly together.
In your spare time, recreational flying, going up for the heck of it because you just love doing it, what are you flying?
Well, I have a Beech 18. It's actually an old Navy C-45 that I've owned for 38 years. And it's currently not airworthy, but I hope to get it back in annual and get it going this year. But I've got a 1947 Bonanza that I got last year, and I'm having some fun flying it. But I just use it sometimes to travel back and forth from my airstrip to North Texas Regional, where my office is, where I do my DPE, my examiner work. And yesterday I was out in a Baron and flew up to Arkansas and picked up a propeller and a pair of spare landing gear for the Bonanza. I'm acquiring my own little parts cash, I guess you could call it, just in case I need anything. But I came across some bargains, and I went up and picked those up yesterday.
Now, see, that's the way retirement should be. But you're not really retired, are you?
I tried it, but it didn't agree with me.
How many check rides as a DPE have you given over all the decades that you've been doing that?
Oh, gee. Last year was a very busy year for me, and I was probably in the 175 range.
Wow.
So based on that, I'd guess over the last many years, I've probably done somewhere close to 1,000 check rides. I don't know.
Wow, that's amazing. Do you? You know, we all remember our first solo. Do you remember your first check ride you gave as a DPE?
Actually, if you count being a PPE, which that's what I did first, pilot proficiency examiner in the B-29. I flew with John Deacon, and rated John Deacon in the B-29 and in the B-24. So that was some of my first checks that I did.
I would think that being an examiner in a B-29, you're dealing with highly experienced pilots when you're doing this,
right,
versus when you're dealing with private pilots that are nervous and you never know what they're going to do.
Right. And the majority of the checks that I have done over the years have been just that. It's been rating experienced pilots in new airplanes. And that is very different from doing just the private and the commercial type check rides.
From when you first started flying at the age of 12 and getting your private at the age of 17, how much has it changed as far as getting your pilot's license? Is it more difficult now or not?
Well, I don't think it's any more difficult, but times have changed a little bit. The way the training is done and the type of equipment that we have in the airplanes requires a little bit more technical training. And, you know, when I was learning to fly, the average time for solo was somewhere between 6 and 10 hours, because we were flying J3 Cubs and little Taylor crafts and airplane like that, and they had no radios, no nav equipment. So all you had to do was master the basics of flying the airplane. And nowadays you've got to learn to talk on the radio, and you know, there's a lot more going into learning to fly right now than just basics of flying the airplane. So it takes a little bit longer to get somebody ready for solo these days. And of course, I still believe that everyone ought to learn to fly in a tailwheel airplane, but unfortunately everybody's learning to fly a nose wheel airplane. So there's some pilot skills that they could benefit from that they're just never exposed to.
And oftentimes it's hard to find a flight school that has a tail dragger that you can learn.
True. Yeah. That's correct.
I'll tell you, we're going to take a break, and I'll ask you this question because I will probably forget what it is when we come back. So I'll let you chew on this. What makes a tail dragger pilot, flying a tail dragger, learning how to fly in a tailwheel, what makes them a better pilot than somebody learning how to fly in a tricycle gear? Charles Tillman is our guest. You're listening to The World of Aviation, sponsored by Academy College of Aviation, located in Bloomington at 35W and 494, and by Thunderbird Aviation, where I learned to fly, two locations in the Twin Cities, Flying Cloud Airport in Eden Prairie and at the Crystal Airport. This is The World of Aviation. Over the next couple of decades, the aviation industry is going to need hundreds of thousands of new pilots. This is a tremendous opportunity if you've ever thought about being an airline pilot. Al Momberg here for Academy College of Aviation. Through Academy College, you can earn a 2 or 4 year degree in business or aviation. Academy College offers career-specific courses that will help you advance in your chosen field. If you're looking at aviation, you can enroll in the Commercial Pilot, Aviation Management, or the FAA-approved Dispatch course. No matter what your current circumstances, you have the ability to attend courses in person or virtually to fit your schedule. Academy College offers small classes, hands-on instruction, and a competitive atmosphere to ensure you graduate with the knowledge necessary to compete in your chosen field. Reach your dreams and live up to your full potential with a degree from Academy College. Start by emailing admissions at academycollege.edu. The next quarter begins April 8th.
This is an important notice to all U.S. taxpayers. The IRS is giving away billions of dollars in tax savings through a federal program called the Fresh Start Initiative to aid delinquent taxpayers. This initiative was established for anyone facing financial hardship and unable to pay their back taxes. Qualifying and enrolling in this program will stop all collections, settle your delinquent tax problem, and even reduce what you owe by thousands of dollars. Call the hotline at People's Tax Relief to see if you qualify and get this free information.
by dialing 800-727-9105. If you have unfiled tax returns or cannot afford to pay your personal or business back taxes, you can now get the help you need. One simple phone call can resolve your tax problem and save you thousands of dollars. To see if you qualify and to get this important free information, call 800-727-9105. 800-727-9105. 800-727-9105.
If you've ever thought about becoming an airline pilot, now is the time to jump into this exciting industry. Al Momberg here for Academy College of Aviation, where you can earn a 2 or 4 year degree in business or aviation. The Bachelor of Commercial Aviation program prepares you for a position with the airlines as well as private and corporate companies. Academy College offers flexible and convenient scheduling. Flight training is conducted through Thunderbird Aviation, which has 2 convenient Twin Cities locations. Academy College offers an RATP-approved program conducted under FAR 141 regulations, which allows a pilot to be hired with 1,000 hours versus the normal 1,500 hours required. That saves you time and money without compromising the high standards set. With their connections with several airlines, Academy College will help you bridge your degree to a career as a commercial pilot. For more information, visit Academy's website at academycollege.edu. The next quarter begins April 8th. World of Aviation. Our guest, Charles Tillman, a longtime pilot, pilot designator, examiner, and was the pilot in command on the only two flying B-29s in the world, Fifi and Doc. Charles, the question before the break is, what makes a pilot who learned how to fly in a tail dragger a better pilot than a guy that didn't learn in a tail dragger?
Well, there's... The best way to explain the difference in the way those two types of airplanes handle is the next time you go to the grocery store, get one of the shopping carts and get out in the parking lot and push that shopping cart straight ahead and let go of it. If you're pushing it, it'll roll in a straight line. If you turn that cart around so that you're pushing it backwards, give it a shove and let go of it and watch what happens. It's not going to roll straight. It's going to end up doing the classic ground loop. So with that in mind, it just points out the fact that you have to constantly be in control of the airplane, and you have to anticipate what it wants to do and make it do what you want it to do. And it's basically just constant attention, a keener awareness of where the winds are coming from, the slopes or the crowns on the taxiways and runways, and you have to use the aileron to your advantage to aid in directional control. It's just a tougher airplane to fly. It requires a lot more pilot input. The modern airplanes are designed to be much easier to fly, and consequently, you never develop some of those skills that are required to fly the older airplanes.
You know, I've never thought of this before, but when you look at the B-25, you compare that to the B-17, which is a tail dragger, the B-25 is not. When you look back on it, does it surprise you that they went with that new configuration for the B-25?
No, not really. I don't really have a good come back on that one. Obviously, as they started designing airplanes with nose wheels, they were easier to fly, and there are some other advantages. The airplane's sitting level on the ground, you know, if you're doing maintenance work or loading ordnance or any number of things, you know, the tricycle gear is easier all the way around.
Yeah. As an examiner, and I'm going to tie this in with today's glass cockpits that the new planes have. Are we doing a disservice to pilots learning how to fly and getting their license, having that kind of technology available to them in the cockpit?
Well, a few years ago, I probably would have said yes, but I've sort of tempered tempered my opinion on that, because aviation is going in the direction of technology, and there's not going to be any turning back. So you need the basic pilot skills, but you also need the technical skills on operating all the automated equipment, and the operation and of that automated equipment now is just as important as the pilot skills. So it's just a change.
You gotta be able,
it's a change that we're going to have to live with. And
Obviously,
if you started people off in a tailwheel airplane and, say, for instance, gave them their first 50 or 100 hours in more basics, they would develop better what I call seat-of-the-pants flying skills.
Right.
But if you're going to advanced equipment, you've got to master all of the high-tech equipment in there.
With the Garmin, the G1 or the G1000s, and the, I mean, it is great technology. Will these pilots, will they know what to do if they, all of a sudden the screens go black?
Well, that's an interesting question, because the modern cockpits do have backups that are there, and you need to know how to use the backups. But the answer to that question is if all the technology breaks down, it is an issue.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a frightening scenario. If it's the case, and I'm not sure it's the case, it's most of the older guys that say that it's a problem. You know, the younger guys, they're growing up with this. This is the technology right. That they already know. So if you were going to give advice to young people learning how to fly today, what advice would you give them starting out?
You know, I have young guys that and gals that ask for that advice sometimes, and what I tell them is that if you want to fly for a living, you can't start too soon, and you can't work too hard. If that's what you want, you need to start early, and stay after it. And you got to have good grades in school. You got to avoid getting in trouble with the law, DWIs, drugs, all that sort of stuff that goes along with what a lot of the younger generation is doing. You just got to keep your nose clean, and you got to work hard, and don't give up.
You have to have that stick-to-itiveness, don't you?
Yes.
It's true. It really, really is. So what? How long are you to be flying as an examiner? Have you looked down the road?
Well, I am trying to cut back a little bit on the volume of events that I'm doing, and I'm trying to take care of what I call my bucket list items. If I don't get busy on taking care of my bucket list, I'm going to find out one day that it's never going to get done. So I want to work on my own airplanes, and I want to do some work on my private strip, and I'm going to continue to check rides, but I'm being a little bit more selective. This last week, I was working with Neptune BAE 146 fire bombers, doing proficiency checks with those guys. Next weekend, I've got the Rampart folks coming in with turbine powered caribous, and so I'm getting to do things in some interesting airplanes and fly with guys that have specialized missions that they're flying, and it's it keeps it interesting.
You fly off a grass strip, a private strip. Is your strip like a golf course green, smooth as can be?
Well, it's in pretty good shape right now. It's 3,150 feet long and
nice.
About 200 feet wide. And I've already put out the pre-emergent, and here in about a week or so, maybe 2 weeks, I got to put out fertilizer. And, you know, I'm trying to take the month of April off from doing any check ride activity and get things in order here at my place.
Charles, it's been an honor to have you on the show, and our apologies for the misconnection at the beginning of the show, but we got you on, doggone it.
Yeah, we
appreciate it. It's been fun. Hold on a sec, Charles. I'm going to talk to you off air here. Charles Tillman, our guest, legendary pilot. And you've been listening to The World of Aviation, sponsored by Academy College of Aviation, located in Bloomington at 35W and 494, and by Thunderbird Aviation, where I learned to fly. Two locations in the Twin Cities Metro, Flying Cloud Airport in Eden Prairie, and at the Crystal Airport. This is The World of Aviation.
World of Aviation is paid for by Thunderbird Aviation.
The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. BearingArms.com covers Second Amendment issues, self-defense, the latest gear, and more. That's BearingArms.com.
I'm having a really hard time lately, and I'm worried no one will understand what I'm going through.
I feel so alone. I wish there was somebody I could talk to.
If you're looking for support, Mental Health Minnesota is here for you, with connections to others who have also struggled with their mental health and can provide support and resources. Services are anonymous, confidential, free of charge, and open 7 days a week. Connect today at mentalhealthmn.org or call 855-HERE-4-MN today. Sponsored by Mental Health Minnesota, the Minnesota Broadcasters Association, and this station.
What is dadication?
People ask, how your children learn how to ride a bike and you didn't. I just created an environment where they taught themselves and all I had to do was be there.
That's dadication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.